Hello and welcome to the latest episode of PwC's Economics in Business podcast. I'm Ellie Golden, a consultant in our economics practice, and I'll be your host for today. In this episode, we'll be diving into the 12th edition of our Women in Work report. Joining me on this exciting episode are two amazing members of PwC's economics team, Alia Kumar, who's joining us virtually, and Yashi Chowdhury, who's in the studio with me today. Before we delve into the report's content and probably some shocking statistics, let's start with an overview of what the Women in Work report is and what it covers.
So, thanks, Ellie. So in terms of the Women in Work report, it's one of our flagship research publications that we publish annually since 2011, and it looks at progress made towards gender equality at workplaces across 33 OECD countries. Additionally, this year in our special report, we deep dive into the drivers of the gender pay gap in the UK, exploring whether gender disparities in pay remain when accounting for other pay determining factors. This is especially relevant now as during times of economic uncertainty, economic shocks are likely to impact women the hardest, given their overrepresentation in insecure employment and sectors with low pay. So that's one of the reasons that's driven our focus this year.
Thanks, Alia. Now, I'm particularly interested in the findings from the index because I actually did conduct the index analysis of our 2023 Women in Work report. So for those of you who haven't read our report yet, there are five key indicators that make up our index. These are the female participation rate, unemployment rate, and full-time employment rate, the participation rate gap, and then the gender pay gap. Yashi, what were the standout findings in our Women in Work index this year?
So, Ellie, over the last decade, we've seen slow progress towards gender parity across the OECD. In our last index update, while the average OECD score has improved, the gender pay gap has widened and is now at 13.5%. For context, the gender pay gap was 16.5% in 2011. Our analysis shows that at the current rate, it will take over 50 years to close the gender pay gap across the OECD. Luxembourg has emerged as the top performing country on the index, followed by Iceland in second place and Slovenia in third. Luxembourg's strong performance was largely driven by an improvement across all indicators, and especially by the fact that it continues to have the lowest gender pay gap across the OECD. At negative 0.2%, Luxembourg's gender pay gap is negative. That means, on average, the median level of pay is higher for women than men. When we look at the movement across countries, we see that Australia has recorded the biggest improvement in its rank, rising 7 places from 17th in 2021 to 10th place in 2022. The UK, however, experienced the largest fall in ranking on our index this year, dropping from 13th to 17th place. The UK's gender pay gap also widened over this period. At 14.5%, the UK's gender pay gap is larger than the OECD average. And the UK has consistently lagged behind the OECD on this measure for the majority of the last decade. When we turn our focus on our regional index, we see Scotland take the top spot in rankings this year, followed by the Southwest and then the East of England. While 9 out of 12 regions and nations have recorded an improvement in their index score, progress towards closing the gender pay gap remains positive but slow.
Thanks, Yashi. Now, these results are probably very startling to some of our listeners, but they are unfortunately in line with what we've seen in previous years. The index analysis has been conducted for over a decade now, which really allows us to make these comparisons in gender disparity over time. Now, I won't ask you to go into the historical changes, but if our listeners did want to explore this further, we've got a snazzy interactive tool which shows the index results since 2011, which can be found on our website. Anyway, sorry to get sidetracked. You mentioned that the gender pay gap has widened in the UK. This was a standout headline across the OECD when we were writing the report last year, so it becomes even more imperative to address and understand the underlying factors contributing to this disparity. Alia, what was the reason behind the widening gender pay gap in the UK?
Great question, Eddie. In fact, it was this persistently high gender pay gap in the UK that prompted us to take a look at the factors driving the gender pay disparities in our special article this year. And what we found is that even after accounting for a range of pay determining factors, such as qualification levels, industry and occupational grade, and thereby conducting a like-for-like comparison between workers of each gender, the majority of the pay differential between genders persists. We call these remaining pay differentials the pay penalties in our report. And it's the presence of these pay penalties that suggests that biases and structural inequalities in the workplace play a significant role in driving gender pay disparities. In fact, what we found is that on average, for every £1 earned by a man, an equally qualified woman with a similar background earns 90 pence. And I think what's really important to highlight here is that while we have seen slow but steady gains for women in a decade of women in work, not all women have experienced these gains equally. For example, some individuals' disparities in pay are accentuated when the intersection of gender with income, ethnicity, and age are considered.
Thanks, Alia. Now, I was reading the report this morning, and it covers a lot of ground when it comes to the individual drivers behind the gender pay gap and the various ways that they intersect with one another, which was fascinating. And I know we discussed this a lot at the Women in Work launch event last week, which was fab, by the way. So thank you both. But I never got to ask, what factors shocked you the most during your analysis?
I think what surprised me the most, Ellie, was how the pay penalty faced by women doubles from when they start their career around the age of 16 and over, compared to the later stages of their career between the ages of, say, 46 to 65 years. And this trend is likely driven by an increase in unpaid care responsibilities that come with age, in particular the motherhood penalty for those women who go on to have families, but also the women who have caring responsibilities for family members. And additionally, we found that health-related challenges at older ages, for example, the menopause, also contribute towards this widening gender pay gap as women go through their career. Furthermore, ethnicity and gender are also play intersecting and often compounding roles in driving inequalities in the workplace. For example, we found that Bangladeshi women face the largest pay penalty relative to white men. For every £1 earned by a white man, an equally qualified Bangladeshi woman with similar personal and work-related characteristics earns around 75 pence on average.
Thanks, Alia. Some very, very frightening statistics. So I know we're running out of time, so I just wanted to pose one final question before we wrap up. So if we link back to the motivations behind the research and its relevance, why is it important for everyone to truly understand this data?
Thank you, Ellie. I would say this is the key question here. We believe that the report serves a twofold purpose. Firstly, it highlights that tracking and collecting pay data over time is crucial to understand the pay outcomes experienced by employees. It reminds employers of the crucial role they play in driving progress by addressing the factors that contribute to pay gaps. It enables them to undertake a robust approach to tackle the gender pay gap, report the data that they've collected, and construct evidence-led action plans. These plans can include provision of more affordable childcare, progressive parental leave policies, and reporting pay gaps on a range of characteristics, including gender and ethnicity. Secondly, it shows that closing the gender pay gap can unlock significant economic gains. We estimate that if women in the UK no longer faced a gender pay penalty, the potential increase in women's earnings could be up to £55 billion per year. Moreover, it could encourage more women to join or rejoin the workforce. We see an estimate that a 5% increase in the total number of women in employment could boost the UK GDP by up to £125 billion every year.
Gosh, this really does go to show that closing the gender pay gap is not only crucial for women, but it also holds significant potential for economic and societal benefits on a more broader scale. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for in this episode. I really do urge you to read our report. It goes into depth on the topics we've covered today, as well as a further deep dive into the other drivers behind the gender pay gap. The full report can be found in the description of this podcast, or you can find it on our website by searching PwC Women in Work 2024 into your internet browser. Thank you both so much for joining me today. I've loved being back with our Women in Work team. If you've enjoyed this episode, please make sure you subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. We have some really exciting podcasts coming up on our flagship reports this year. Thank you for listening and have a lovely day.